everyone. I'm Emily.
And I'm Vince.
And this is the Lighthouse Lowdown.
So,
it's testing you there.
The rumor has it there's no history buoy today.
Oh my gosh. Just before we started, I realized I had a space for the history buoy and didn't complete it. So,
you're actually on record saying that. We're already 3 minutes in.
And what? And that's the second time this year, and it's halfway through February as we record this. So, it's pretty bad.
It's a shame.
Maybe once per month I'm allowed, but that's far too much for how often we record. So, I guess the only time you've ever let that sound go to completion. But I have a cold, so blame it on that. Got some brain fog going on. Oh,
couldn't possibly remember the history buoy.
So we'll just jump straight into our lighthouse today, and that's because I did not do my due diligence. Apologies to everyone out there. I know how much everyone counts on these. But I also said last time I was going to cover the membership levels for the USLHS, and I am going to do that. It just seems to be getting further and further away from this moment.
It'll happen.
Yeah. So our lighthouse today, we talked about a little bit of this a couple times. And in our very last episode, we talked about Bartholomew Gosnold, the guy who...
Bart. Bart for short. Bad Bart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunate Bart. I don't think he knew the repercussions of his actions. And I looked it up a little bit more. He wasn't the only one. It was also like all the people. It was everybody. Everyone partook.
And what are we picking on Bart for?
Bart, you mean from the last episode or right now?
Right. Well, last episode.
Well, because he soured Native American feelings.
Oh, that's right. Ruined it. Soiled it.
But we're not looking at all that. We're looking at just Cape Cod today and Martha's Vineyard in particular.
Oh, cool.
Vince and I, once again, have decided we're going to Cape Cod and we're going to spend a day in Martha's Vineyard. And so I'm going to do a little spotlight on a couple of those lighthouses coming up, and one of them is today.
For those who don't know, would you tell me, or you already told me, but tell them, why is it named Martha's Vineyard? I thought that was cool.
Bartholomew sailed by. He didn't stop there, but he assumed that it was uninhabited. Saw lots of wild grapes, and on top of that, his deceased daughter's name was Martha, named after his wife's mom, and so he named the place Martha's Vineyard.
Very sweet.
There's that. I'm going to pull up a map because I'm going to talk about...
It's a map.
Edgartown. Hopefully that's how you pronounce it. I assumed...
Edgerton.
That's how... No. Gosh, I'm going to be just shocked with myself in particular if it actually ends up being something other than Edgartown. Gosh, now you have me wondering.
We discovered it's Chatham and Eastham.
Chatham and Eastham.
Chatham and Eastham. See, I've ruined it. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So Martha's Vineyard, Edgartown.
Yes. So we're going to be focusing in on there. I just decided to pull up a map because last time you asked me for a map and I didn't pull one up.
Mappy maps.
So Martha's Vineyard is a island off the southern part of Cape Cod. It's just under 87.5 square miles with a population of 20,000, and that swells to over 200,000 in the summer. So
permanent residents or... Like,
and tourists, but Martha's Vineyard is really, it's an affluent summer live-in island.
Right.
So Martha's Vineyard also includes the adjacent Chappaquiddick island. So that's, I felt something coming that I hadn't checked the pronunciation of, but we'll
give it a swing.
It's a pretty big chunk over here.
Chappaquiddick.
Edgartown is how you get to, huh?
Yeah, I agree. Chappaquiddick.
Okay, Chappaquiddick. You get there through Edgartown, but you still have to take a ferry. It just runs constantly, 24/7. So
nice.
Maybe not 24/7. At least all day.
It runs back and forth. Yeah. Yep. Can't swim it.
So technically, they're separated islands, but it's when people talk about Martha's Vineyard, it's included.
Nice.
Obviously, it's so close. The first settlement on this island was Edgartown, which is why we're talking about it. First called Great Harbor in 1642, when the settlement was founded. By Thomas Mayhew, who was the son of Thomas Mayhew, who had a son named Thomas Mayhew. Oh, gosh. But Thomas Mayhew the First had excellent relations with the existing Native Americans on this island. And I think he went back and forth and kind of had built up trust and a relationship with them. So his son, Thomas Mayhew the Second, was the one who started the settlement and continued this excellent relationship with the Native Americans there. And they were so friendly, in fact, that when their people started the King Philip's War later on in the century, they decided not to partake with their people on the mainland in this war against the English colonies.
The King Philip's Award?
King Philip's War.
Okay. Was that the Declaration of Independence? I don't know history.
Gosh, She's don't make laughing me laugh. And coughing. I can't. I didn't know it either. Actually, King Philip's is referring to a Native American chief who took the name Philip. So I'm pretty sure.
Philippe. King Philippe.
King Philip's War.
Yeah, so I don't know what, I don't know history.
Sometimes called First Indian War, Pettumcomet's Rebellion. I feel like that was how they referred to it in my history class when I was a child.
Okay.
Armed conflict. In 1675, between a group of indigenous peoples of the northeastern woodlands and the English New England colonies, war is named for Metacomet.
It's 100 years.
Who adopted the English name Philip because of the friendly relations between his father and the Plymouth colony.
Okay.
So.
100 years before the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
Kind of interesting.
Not 100 years.
You said 1670s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1776.
Oh, you know why I got thrown off? I was thinking 1716, which is when the Boston Light went into service. That's what really matters to me.
So, the Philip War, King Philip?
King Philip's War, yeah. So that was started by this tribe of Native Americans. I don't know what it's called when it's like the certain like Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
There were separate groups of Cherokee people.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call it, the umbrella.
Someone would know that I don't.
Anyway, just all of that is to say that English and Native American on Martha's Vineyard were very kumbaya and weren't at each other's throats.
Nice. Yeah. That's nice.
I don't know when that ended. Maybe it never did. I don't have to go that far into history.
I don't know. I wonder if there's still a Native presence or if that's silly
there
to
is.
Say.
There is. Yeah. They actually, this. Gosh, what is it called? Like, what do I refer?
Tribe?
That's why I was like, is it a section of Native? Like, there's a name for it. Anyway, these Native Americans still are recognized in this area of America.
So okay.
Like, still being federally recognized.
Nice. They didn't rename the island from Chappaquiddick.
Chappaquiddick.
Gosh, I'm sorry, everyone.
We just, it's part of who we are, not being able to pronounce anything and winging it last second. Anyway, so the island today has 5 lighthouses, and the first was actually not in Edgartown, which I think is interesting since it was the first settlement. But that's not the one I'm covering today. I'm covering the one in Edgartown.
Okay.
I'll cover the other one later. The other one's Gay Head Lighthouse. It was the first one, and they named it that because the clay cliff that they saw was colorful. And so they're cheerful, so they named it Gay Head Light.
Yep. And but, head, because lots of places are the head of land mass. I'm holding up my arms and pointing different directions.
I'm looking every
as if
direction.
These are peninsulas.
But the first order lens for that lighthouse is in the Martha's Vineyard Museum that we're going to go to, so we get to see a first order lens.
Nice. And that's the OG, it's Gay Head.
Yes.
Okay. So
and they there's a stamp for the lens itself.
Oh, cool. No, museum. Did we see a picture of this when we were doing our research?
I think so. I bet.
Yeah. So we've done some, you guys may or may not have heard at this point, we're doing some research on traveling to Cape Cod. Mm-hmm. We are going to go this summer. It's going to be a great time. We're going to see lighthouses. We're going to have the food that the locals tell us are good,
yes.
Or at least that the internet tells us is good.
Yeah, you guys tell us what's good.
Let me know if there's a golf course I can hit up as well.
Oh, no, there's so many. It needs to be public. He needs to be able to rent clubs. And it's anywhere on Cape Cod.
I looked at Martha's Vineyard. I don't think that's the one.
There's only one, four, right?
on Martha's Vineyard. One's public.
Okay.
But either way, I would like to hear that at the Lighthouse Lowdown @gmail.com.
Yes, please send us recommendations. Actually, send us recommendations for literally anything, because we are pretty busy. Like, we're packing this trip full of stuff to do, but we can make, like, everything's flexible. It's just we'll you and me on a trip, so.
Yeah, just Red Bull it out.
No. So, I can't rally.
Edgartown. Tell us about it.
Okay. So Edgartown Harbor was a hub of whaling.
Oh.
Hence the need for a lighthouse. And also kind of why, like, kind of points to where the affluent part of this island came from. Is that, like,
some of the money
for
came
a while.
From
yeah. There that was trade. Like a solid, what was it? I think a solid quarter of all whaling ships left this harbor.
Wow.
So it was a hubbub. So in 1828, Congress approved $5,500 for a lighthouse at the end of a pier in the harbor. Oh, the quality of this photo is not very good. Look at this photo.
Well, on our 65-inch screen, it's a little blurred out.
Yeah, that was a failure on my part. But anyway, this is a picture of...
Moby Dick, the whaling
yes.
story.
Oh, yeah.
Was based out of Nantucket.
Oh, no way. Okay, so that's the island that's next to
Martha's
Vineyard.
Wondering if 25% of whaling ships left from Edgartown.
Wow, that's interesting.
Nantucket is the... I'd have to read more. This is a super, super quick Google.
Yeah.
Maybe they lived in Nantucket and the harbor was actually...
It sounded familiar to you? Is that why you decided to look that up?
No, it's just the only whaling book story that I know is Moby Dick.
Wow, what a coincidence.
Anyways, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
You're good. In this picture, it's hard to tell, but... This is the.
I should be on a shirt.
This is the first light. It's super different from what we see today, and okay. I'll get into the whole story of that. But this, the original one, was a two-story dwelling with a lighthouse tower coming from the center, so it's integral. The pier wasn't built for another year and a half after the light was lit at the end of 1828, and so for a while the keepers had to row back and forth from. The beach to the light. So, yeah. And it was on wooden piles or like wooden
piers.
Yeah.
So it's pretty shallow where it's at then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not very deep.
I guess that makes sense for a lighthouse. Duh.
Yeah.
Duh.
Duh. That's not true.
Give one example.
Okay. I don't have an example. I thought of Standard Rock, where it's like in the middle of a lake, and so I'm like, it wasn't shallow, but it was on a reef that was like dangerously shallow.
Yeah.
So
I thought of that one as well.
I know. So the pier was 1,500 feet long.
Wow.
Cost $2,500 to build, which is crazy because that's like half the cost of the lighthouse.
That's a great deal.
You think? I don't know. Less expensive than that. It's just a wooden walkway.
Yeah. But an integral lighthouse is a house with a light lantern room.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I guess.
I don't know. They're pretty good at building houses.
The walkway was called the Bridge of Sighs, which I looked up, because people would go to this bridge to watch their family or husbands or whoever leave on their whaling ships. And sometimes the expeditions were like 5 years long, so it's called the Bridge of Sighs. It's very sad.
S-I-G-H-S.
Yeah. First keeper at Edgartown Harbor Lighthouse was Jeremiah Dammit. I didn't look up how to pronounce his last name.
He was a bullfrog.
Okay, I typed it in. It says to pronounce it as peas, so I'm just gonna pronounce it as peas. P-E-A-S-E. Jeremiah served at Edgartown for 13 years as the first keeper, and then 2 years later, he served for another 6 years. So he took a little gap. And apparently, a political party before the Lighthouse Board was created was very important to lighthouse keeper placements. So if there was a change in power, then the lighthouse keeper would change.
Interesting.
I don't know if that was true for everywhere, but at least like maybe in these early lighthouses,
the
it
Northeast
had a standing.
Especially.
Yeah. So when the Whig Party was in power, Pease was replaced with Sylvanus Crocker both times.
Crocker, the big Whig.
Pease was a Democrat and Whig was like a more conservative party that died out. But every time, so he served 13 years, got kicked out for two by Crocker, and then served another 6 years. Whig party went back into power and Crocker came back in.
He was just waiting.
Yeah, he's just like, come on, come on,
I don't know what to do with my time.
Yeah, and actually, I read another instance. It's not exactly like this, but I read another instance at Pemaquid Point. I didn't really mention it. Another political party thing that Marcus H. Hanna, who I've heard of before and has his own section in that main Lighthouse book that I showed you last time in the last episode. He was really well known for being super brave and courageous. Like, he got, like, awards. He was in the Civil War, and he was, like, known for really putting his life in danger to save other people. So he was awesome. But he was allegedly a stinker to work with. He was, like, grumpy. Like, when you needed him, he would save your life. But any other time, people are just like, oh, this guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, he wanted to be placed at a better light station than Pemaquid Point. So he allegedly used his status as a Republican with President Grant to move him to Two Lights, which is Cape Elizabeth.
I feel like I've heard of Two Lights. Did we cover it?
No, we haven't yet.
Okay. But I've heard of it.
Yeah. Which effectively boots out the current head keeper, who wrote in the logbook, quote, Mr. Hanna from Pemaquid Light Station will take my place, but not with my consent. I am no longer a Republican.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, oh shit. So anyway, political stuff came up often in keepers' positions.
Yeah, I did not know that.
I'm sure there's a lot of other instances, but
You're doing great. Take a sip of coffee. Coffee today was provided by Emily.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And Captain Cecil's Atlantic.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Run through the espresso machine.
I did. It was maybe not the smartest thing to do, but.
I don't know. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I know it's a, it's not pure coffee at this point, but it's good.
What do you mean? Oh.
Well, it's got honey.
It's got milk and honey and sugar in it.
I'm a child, so I like that stuff. But
I went a little heavy on the sugar, but I think it's still A plus honey, latte.
Honey is basically liquid sugar as well.
I know. Anyway, that was just something I'd mention. 1840, the wooden beams holding up the lighthouse were really starting to rot away. And I mean, that's over a decade. So that's pretty good for just wooden beams just sitting in the
water. Yeah.
They were replaced with a stone pier. Let me pull a picture. You can see it at the bottom here. Pretty nice.
Why is there a crack in the house?
Where?
In the middle right there.
Here?
Under the window.
Oh, this?
Yeah.
Probably some damage. There was lots of complaints that the house was leaking stuff, because looking at it, you can actually tell it's not weatherproof. Like, this is not.
This is aggressive.
Yeah.
This is just a house on
salt
water.
It's just a house with no buffers or anything, just on the water.
Recently, what was the storm? Early January, we talked about the storm that affected
the
East Coast.
10th and 13th.
Yeah. But in some of those photos, we talked about like seawalls that were built.
Yes, and
foundations,
destroyed.
Like tall foundations. This house doesn't have
this
any
house
of those.
Would have been decimated by a storm like that.
Is that a poop pipe, you think, right there?
I think so.
That
I think
looks
this
like a great
might
place
just
to
be
take
straight
a dupe.
Up open to the.
Oh, let's go. I mean, it's away from the town. You can see the town over there.
Yeah.
So
there's some distance. It would be broken up.
If you're dropping donations,
keeping
the fish happy.
Gross.
I know. I'm the worst. The fog bell's also on that side of the house. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
I see
no,
picture
no,
and I
it's
point.
It's a good eye because I didn't really have anything to say about that in particular. But I thought it was cool that it was just on the side of the house like that.
I wonder how they actuated it.
I don't know. I'm sure it was through the top, or like maybe there's a hole in the side. I don't know. This actually is an add-on to the house, so it's not like.
See a nice lightning rod running down. Water is a conductor, so does the lightning rod run down into the water?
You might as well.
Right? Is that stupid?
I don't know.
Water is also salt water, particularly highly corrosive, which is why those wood piers did not last very long.
Mm-hmm.
So you're. Metal wire. I'm just interested. I like to look it up.
Anyway.
Because I covered lightning rods previously, but not on water.
Yeah. Oh, true. Makes a big difference.
Sorry, caffeine got me.
You're good. my next point was that the official keeper's dwelling was not well suited for being on the water, which is what we see here. So there was a quick turnover on keepers, and most preferred to stay somewhere on the shore rather than the light itself. And I don't know if that had to come out of their own pocket or if that was, I doubt that was supplied by the lighthouse board.
Yeah.
Additionally, the wooden pier did nothing to protect the harbor from shifting sands. And that's something I'll mention later. Like, sand movement is like a big deal on this area. Right. So, Keeper Sylvanus argued to build a breakwater instead of just having this walkway.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1847, for $4,700, a stone breakwater topped with a wooden walkway was built to help preserve the harbor. And eventually they made like other improvements to the keeper's cottage, including adding a fourth order Fresnel lens. So that's nice. And then they added an oil house, this fog bell area that you pointed out, storage shed, etc.
Nice. Some riprap making up that.
They added some, they oomphed it.
What was that called again? Nathan told us. Revetment?
Yeah, revetment stone.
Revetment stone. Cool.
After that, there wasn't a lot of notes about it, except for that it was a quote-unquote tolerable place to live.
Nice.
That is until it took significant damage from a hurricane in 1938, which was just referred to as the Great Hurricane. It was Category 5.
Nice.
$306 million in damage, which is $6.5 billion today, and killed 800 people, injured like 1,700 people. So it was a big one.
Dang.
It was a bad one. So the year after that, the Coast Guard took over all the lighthouses and immediately destroyed this one because it would have been so costly to upkeep, and they weren't going to have keepers there anymore or anything. So they were planning on building a skeleton tower instead, like in its place.
In the 30s?
40s.
They took over.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Sorry.
So they were going to build a skeleton tower with the beacon on top, but the town hated that idea. And so instead they took the 1881 rear range light from Cranes Beach, Massachusetts, dismantled it and brought it over instead, which is the tower that we have today. And it looks like it's just every other Cape Cod lighthouse out there.
Yep. It looks nice. I like this photo.
Yeah, this is where it was located originally. So this is a picture of it when it was still
a background picture.
Yeah. It is really nice. Very sharp old photo.
I don't know what that's called. What's the railing style? Is that Gothic?
I don't know.
Old English?
The way that it like slopes and then points down again is very Gothic. I don't know
the architecture words, but that's cool.
We should
look the little
it up.
Porthole windows.
Yeah.
Big fan of those.
Pretty cute. So anyway, that was moved over to the end of the breakwater. It's 45 feet, cast iron, all white except for a black lantern room, and has a fixed red light.
Nice. We like that.
Well, had a fixed red light when it was first moved over to Martha's Vineyard. So it was originally at the end of the breakwater, which it doesn't look that way today. And so I was like, what happened? Did they put it at the end of the breakwater and then move it back in? But what happened was it said sand eventually over time filled in the space around the lighthouse. And now it's like has its own beach, its own beach.
That's cool.
But what actually happened was there was a series of hurricanes. I can't remember what year, but a series of hurricanes destroyed sand from the Eel Pond Barrier Beach, which was northwest of Edgartown. I have a picture. So on the left side, there's a picture of where Edgartown Light used to be at the end of the breakwater. And up here is this Eel Pond Barrier beach.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of hurricanes which broke up that area, and all the sand was like suspended in the water for a long time. And then if you look on the right, there's a map of what it looks like today. So
that is epic.
Isn't that awesome? So all the sand moved down over to Edgartown Harbor Light and surrounded it. And now Edgartown Harbor, which is now, it's called Lighthouse Beach, is its own barrier beach for this little
son of a Steve. So that's, cool? Yeah, that's awesome. That's why there's no streets probably on that mass, as it's probably not, it's probably
very,
sand.
Yeah, unstable.
So you're telling me that the lighthouse didn't move.
Yeah.
But the sand moved. I was joking
around
about the Kanye earth.
You know, what?
He was. He had some quote, like, what would it cost to buy the whole earth?
Oh.
I just thought it was funny. I'm sorry. Remind me. So there's a riprap pier? No.
Breakwater.
Breakwater.
And it's in this picture.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a pier, right?
Yeah.
But do you think that accumulated the sand and then built up to what we have now, this landmass?
Well, yeah, it's like the waves. So the waves become saturated with sand. As the waves are hitting something, then they release the sand. And so it just piles up and piles up wherever the water is breaking on it. So
that's really interesting.
And you can see the breakwater from underneath the sand if you go see the lighthouse.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Like it's just rock. So yeah. It's underneath all of the, all of the beach.
That's cool.
Isn't that
really
awesome?
Cool. Yeah.
I'm really excited to see it. I can't
wait. You can physically walk to it now.
Yes.
Not walking on the breakwater.
Mm-hmm. It's all sand.
That's really neat.
Yeah. The lighthouse was refurbished by the Coast Guard in 1985, and I think they repainted it. It was looking a little rough, so they gave it a new white coat of paint and did some other stuff to it. And shortly after that, they changed it to a flashing red light every 6 seconds, which is what we have today.
Still dope.
Yeah. Almost a decade later, the light was leased to Martha's Vineyard Historical Society for 30 years. In 2007, they received $250,000 from the Community Preservation Act for a restoration, so they fixed her right up.
What year?
2007.
Nice. I know the economy crashed in 08, like hardcore, but we've heard a lot of these restorations have happened, I would say like 90 through 2010,
mm-hmm.
which is, I wonder where that came from. A lot of the preservation.
Yeah, there like was a lot of stuff happening in like the early 2000s.
Yeah, I'm thinking of Florida, California, even Northwest ones. Talked about they're all 90s and 2000s.
A lot of lighthouses were just neglected.
Mm. Yeah.
And maybe people started to notice those
things.
Yeah. And start fixing them up.
Yeah. Well, good. $250,000 is not nothing.
Yeah, nothing to sniff at.
Especially on a shorter lighthouse tower.
Yeah.
What is this one? 40 feet?
45.
Nice.
But the light was transferred to the town of Edgartown in 2014. So now the town owns it. Thus upkeep on it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And so, it's $5 to tour. So you can go and check it out. I'm pretty sure they said the door is just open all the time and you can climb
just
it.
Drop a five in.
And there's a keeper there that will tell you the history and answer any of your questions. So
it's probably a city volunteer or city employee, mm-hmm. probably. Mm-hmm. I was going to say national parks, but that's not. That was true in the Outer Banks where we went to Ocracoke.
Yes.
Because that was a national park.
And
land,
Cape
right?
Cod is a national park, I think.
Okay. Martha's Vineyard National might be Coast. Private.
I think so. Yeah, that's probably right.
That might explain some of the wealth accumulation recently.
Because Cape Cod has National Park Service like shops where you can get patches and stuff, just like we did for Cape Cod or Cape Hatteras and stuff.
That is pretty.
I was waiting for you to make a comment on it. Really great photo.
Looks a little bit of an orange light.
Hey.
So it's just a
glare.
It's a long exposure photo. Which is helps them capture the stars, but they also capture a lot of the light traffic of the city and the harbor right there. It looks like a boat, and then they might have edited somehow to make that light tower orangish. Really pretty though. How you doing?
Good. It's good.
Sorry, you got this drink you made me is making me talk a lot.
Nice. That's what we like. I want to talk to myself the whole time.
Everyone's like,
No.
The co-host is on.
The co-host is feeling chatty.
I am excited to go on this trip.
Oh, we're going to have so much fun.
I've totally forgotten. Are we going to see Edgartown?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely see Edgartown. From there is where we'd go to Cape Podge, which is the one that I'm on the edge about because we'd have to put in some effort.
That's right. Do a lot of the ferries come in? To Edgartown, because it's the kind of the main. You said it's the main.
No, it's
they come north to
most ferries. There are some that come in here, but most of the ferries come in to Oak Bluffs or there's like those two humps of land.
Uh-huh.
One is Oak Bluffs and one is Vineyard Haven or I think that's what it's
if
called.
It has to do with the depth of the water or political reasons at this point. You know, different towns or. Trying to get the port traffic. And,
yeah.
I don't know.
And if they're worried about getting back and forth across between Chappaquiddick,
mm-hmm.
that other one, and Martha's Vineyards, the mainland, I wonder if they try and reduce how much traffic's coming in so that it doesn't impede that.
Yeah.
I do think they have a big bridge over there. I don't know.
I wonder what the ferry is like, that really short one to Chappaquiddick Island. Like it just goes all day long.
Yeah, and you can take your car over it too. So
We had it was fantastic opportunity. I was very fortunate to be able to do. Got to go to Dawson City in the Yukon in Canada. And so we rode our motorcycles on this highway, the Alcan, Alaska, Canada highway. And then we got down to the water, and I was the one in front, and my phone was navigating, you know, strapped to my handlebars.
Yeah.
And I've got this radio in my helmet, and I'm talking to my dad and my brother. And I was like, well, how do we, where's the bridge? Is the bridge gone? Is the, where, how do we get to this town? We're exhausted. It's the end of our day.
Mm-hmm.
Dusty inside of everything. I can taste dust. But I see, I'm an idiot. We're supposed to cross on a ferry.
Oh.
To get into Dawson City.
Yeah.
And the ferry is coming across the water, and it's like glacial wash. So it's like this gray water, and it's rushing. And so the ferry is aimed upstream, and it's coming straight across. And it took like 3 or 4 minutes for it to get across, and then unloaded, and then we loaded, which is its own story. And then we got across, and it's to go back the other way. It's also facing upstream just to fight the current.
Oh.
But this guy just does it all day long. The guy steering
back
the boat.
Just, yeah.
Or lady, I don't know. But the pilot was just totally accustomed to that current. I wonder, I was going to say this job's probably really cool too, this ferry. Yeah. It's not a river, but.
It's funny how that's like a story everywhere. I wonder how the waters are here. I would presume they're pretty calm if they built a lighthouse that was just a house. On the edge.
Well, Edgartown, I was looking at the map, is the biggest land cove overall. It has the most protection from...
Oh.
I'm looking at... I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
But it's the largest, like, inlet of land. There's the other town that's up north. It's another ferry town. It's in another cove, but it's much more narrow.
Provincetown.
It looks to be much more narrow. So
mm-hmm. It is very small.
Yep.
Cool.
Pulled up very
nice
pretty. Very cool.
It, that's it. Edgartown Harbor. A classic story of replacing the original lighthouse with some other light. It's like Nauset Light. And they're so similar looking. All of the lighthouses mm-hmm. on Cape Cod look very similar. So it'll be fun to take pictures of them all.
A lot of them are this like steel banded tower.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's practicality or...
I think it's just looks.
Yeah. I mean, the Outer Banks was like all brick. Everything was brick.
Yeah. Yeah. And even they said something about when they moved this one, they didn't include a brick lining that it had originally.
And maybe it was outside of the steel.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So anyway,
cool.
That's all.
Well, thank you.
Should have had a history buoy. I think this would have been a perfect length, but.
It's a good length.
Rest assured. And I'm saying it now. Next episode, I'm going to have a history buoy. No more disappointment from me.
Very good.
You can send us an email at thelighthouselowdown@gmail.com. Check out our Instagram, our LinkedIn, our YouTube, and we have a lot of other. I think that's it. Wait. Instagram, LinkedIn.
Are we on Twitter?
YouTube? No.
I mean, Twitter's dead. X now.
No.
We're not on X.
We don't have Facebook either.
LinkedIn, YouTube. All the places you can listen to podcasts.
Yeah, that's it. We hope you enjoy listening, and we'll catch you next time on The Lighthouse Lowdown.